And we talked about a few verses that talk about balance from the scriptures and how we need to have mental balance, first of all. Romans 12:2 says to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's mental balance, being balanced mentally. And that's usually what we mean when we use the term imbalanced. We're talking mental usually, but there's lots of areas of our lives that need balance, not only mentally, but physical balance that we need. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about glorifying God in our body and not putting anything into our body that doesn't glorify God, not doing anything with our body that does not glorify God. And we talked about spiritual balance. 2 Peter 3:18 says to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We grow in knowledge, but also grow in grace. That's our relationship with Him, our personal walk with Him. Then we talked about emotional balance, and then social balance, living in harmony with one another. And right where we ended the service, we said we need to get started in balancing our lives and finding out what the Bible says about how to balance our lives. And then we said we'd have to come back to that next time. So I apologize that you probably haven't been able to sleep for the last 2 weeks to get the rest of this message. So listen now as you can, and you'll probably be asleep in no time, making up for that lack. All right? If you want to look at Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5 is a verse that you can turn to. And I'm going to hold my Bible because I can't preach without it, whether we open it too much tonight or not. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That's a balanced walk. And we're going to give you, I think it's 5 steps tonight to balancing our lives, getting the balance back in our lives. And step number one is to take inventory. So let's do this. If you're jotting something down tonight, that's step number one, is to take inventory, which means that you just stop and on purpose look at your life and say, where am I at when it comes to balance in my life? Do a self-exam and a personal checkup and evaluate your lifestyle. Proverbs tells us to analyze, that it's wise to analyze. The unexamined life is not worth living, Socrates said. Here's what we want to do. We want to be able to get to the end of our life, and at the end of our life, avoid saying, if only I had, if only I had whatever. And the way to avoid the if onlys at the end of our life is to stop during life and analyze it. Take inventory, look at it, evaluate, and say what's missing and where might I be out of balance. And come the end of my life, what might I say I should have been more balanced about? You remember the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15. He went out, spent all his money, had a good time, wine, women, and song, ran up a big tab, blew all of his inheritance real quick, ends up in a pigsty eating their leftovers. And in Luke 15, 17 was a turning point in his life. It says, he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, and he made a new decision to go back home. What am I doing here? He stopped and he analyzed. He took inventory. He came to his senses, and we need to do that and say, I don't want to waste any more of my life. I want to make it count. I need to get in balance. A good thing to do is to go home and take inventory. And look at yourself, especially in those 5 areas, if you're going to look mentally and physically and socially and spiritually, emotionally, that can give you a little outline of where am I lacking some balance in my life. When it comes to mental balance, ask yourself the question, am I sharper than I was 5 years ago, and what am I going to do about it? Maybe I'm going to stop plopping down in front of the TV and putting my mind in neutral and remember that leaders are readers. Do some study of my own. Do something different to sharpen myself mentally. How about physically? Number two, physically. Am I always complaining of a lack of energy? Am I always tired? Always fatigued? Well, how am I sleeping? How am I eating? Am I exercising, etc.? Spiritual balance. Is my first reaction to spiritual problems to pray? For a lot of Christians, prayer is like a last resort. Prayer is supposed to be our first line of defense. Spiritual balance. There, taking time for God and knowing Him better. Emotionally balanced. Do I worry a lot? Am I moody? How dare you ask that? Am I mastered by my moods? Do I lose my temper easily? Am I irritable? Am I depressed? Take an emotional inventory. Socially, social balance. Do I have a genuine friend? Do I have some people who can count on me to be their genuine friend? Now, it's good to evaluate, like we're saying here, to take inventory. A really good way to take inventory is to not only do it yourself, but ask someone else to take inventory for you. Where does your mate think that you're imbalanced? Give them permission to tell you where you're imbalanced in each of these five areas. Okay? Can we do that? The Bible says there's wisdom in counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And so check with a spouse or somebody else who's close to you in these areas. So that's all step number one, take inventory. Step number two is then to form a plan of action. Write down a plan of action. Out beside your inventory, you can say what I'm going to do to fix these areas, and that's step number two, a plan of action. It doesn't happen by accident. We don't just become balanced suddenly. We have to do it on purpose. We've got to work at it. It's not automatic. That's what that verse we just read says, Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. To do that checkup from the neck up and make sure that we are balanced. Take the inventory, number two, write down a plan of action. I think one of the things that helps us form balance in our life is reevaluating our habits. We all have habits. And we talk to our kids about breaking bad habits and starting good habits. It's okay to have habits when they're a good thing, and they can add balance to our life. But willpower is not enough. We need more than that. So that leads us to step three. Step three is establishing Christ at the center, of our life. If we want to be balanced, we need a heavy center. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, right? They're heavy at the center. They remain centered because they're not imbalanced over here with big limbs hanging out this way or this way, pulling them over one side or the other. They have a heavy center. And you've heard this illustration before. But it bears repeating here. The illustration is of Christ being the center of our life and our life being like a wheel. Okay? Remember this illustration? And there's many spokes in the wheel of our life, like we've talked about, emotional, social, spiritual, physical, psychological, whatever. There's many spokes. There's our hobbies. There's our work. There's our home, our family. All these different spokes in the wheel of our life. And Christ has got to be at the hub. Now, every time I've ever shared this illustration, I've stopped a little bit too short. A little bit too, let me guess who. Nice song, though. Every time that we've shared this wheel illustration before, the Christ is the hub, and all the areas of your life are growing out of that hub, it's been good, but we've stopped a little short. Here's what we've said before. We've said, don't compartmentalize your spiritual life. In other words, don't make God just one of the spokes. People sometimes feel like they're balanced because they're adding a little balance of God, a little touch of Him. See, I need a little balance of God in my life. He's not one of the spokes. He's got to be the hub, the heavy center that brings the balance to all the other areas. So we've said that before. And just like a wheel has to have a hub, our life has to have something to center on or we get out of balance, just like a tire can get out of balance, something that our life can center on. If you center your life on making money, you're going to get out of balance, aren't you? If it's all about making money, and that's what you're built on, that's your heavy center, that's the focus that you're heavy on in your life is making money. Some people will start a particular hobby or habit, and that's where they just exhaust all of their effort, all of their time, everything into that thing. They make that their heavy center and wonder why everything gets all out of balance in their life. Now, here's where we've stopped short, and I've never shared this before with the illustration. I don't know why, but we need to now. In the illustration of a wheel, all the power comes through the point of the center, right? You don't have powered spokes. All the power comes there from the middle. And that power is distributed outward to the different spokes that turn the wheel. And when we put Christ as the center of our life, the power comes through that. And that power is relayed out through each one of the spokes. So each one of the spokes becomes empowered. So let's think about the spokes of our lives. We're saying Christ is the center. Just name a spoke. What's something that could be qualified as a spoke in our life? Okay, work is one of the spokes of our lives. Imagine being empowered in your work life instead of, you know, how we are. De-energized. The power of Christ working through that, having some purpose in our work, some higher cause and some greater center that work is rooted in. The Bible does talk about work and tells us that we can, whatever our hand finds to do, we can do it to the glory of God. So you can be like Kimberly was in high school, putting together or carrying parts of, what were they, catalytic converters or something like that on an assembly line. You can do it for the glory of God rather than so people's catalytics become converted. Okay? You can, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you can do it with all your might. You can do it to the glory of God in a way that other people see it and see you working differently. What's another spoke? I'm sorry? Okay, our finances need to be empowered, don't they? They need to be rooted in a hub that some power can flow through them, because there's not much power in our finances in and of themselves. We need God flowing through them. We need Him leading us, and we need to be obeying Him, first of all, with our finances, and then Him empowering through the other 90%, making it do far more than we ever could have done with 100%. Excellent idea. Another spoke. What was it?
Love.
Love. Empowered love. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Very good. Another spoke.
Children.
I'm sorry?
Children.
Okay, children are a spoke of our life. She just spoke of a spoke there. And what she spoke of, children, wow, that's, if you're thinking about power flowing through that, we don't want to give them too much power, right? but we want them to be empowered, so that still works. Another?
Attitudes and desires.
Our attitudes and desires being a spoke of our life, something that we want. Attitudes, the way that we are looking at things. Good. Y'all are preaching a good message tonight. More spokes to speak of? Worship? Yes, our worship to be empowered and not just automatic. Putting our mouth on automatic. Needs to come from God. Needs to be real. Needs to be rooted in Him. You can do all the things that you do in a church in the power of the flesh without God. All of them. We can have church without Him. A lot of places do. I don't want to have church without Him, do you? It'd be a waste of your time and mine. Somebody else have something you wanted to, another spoke you wanted to mention? These are some great ideas. Marriage is one of the spokes of our lives. Some of us, it's two or three spokes. I'm just kidding. You want your marriage to be a powerful thing that's rooted in Jesus Christ and with Him at the hub, Him at the center. That's very good. Anyone else? Yeah.
Activities, hobbies. You know, whether you're a Cardinal fan or
lost. Good. Very good. From Mark, that's good. By the way, Mark seems to be an empowered man. He is. God's done some great things there just in a week and a half since he's got saved and baptized. That's wonderful to see that. Same thing about Dylan. That boy's. Dylan is a different young man, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Christ at the center, Christ the hub. Not just one of those things, you know. And now he wants to be here all the time. He wants to be at all the youth meetings and everything. Before, when it was once in a while, that was like a spoke. Yeah, I'll go to church. That's a spoke. Now he's the hub. Perfect illustration. Any other ideas?
Communication.
Empowered communication. Don't look at her like that. She says that. We could probably, if we thought about it, go on and on and on. There's so much to life. And yet if each of these different areas becomes rooted in Jesus Christ, and we make Him the center, and you can find a way to make Him the center of anything and everything. You say, well, I'm just off doing something that has nothing to do with Him. You know how that sounds? Well, then you're not being Christ-centered. You don't have to have a church service wherever you go on holiday tomorrow to be a Christ-centered individual, you know? That some people can look up at the sky and can do it for one motive, and somebody else can look up and see God, you know? Some see science. Some see, wow, that's big. Some say, wow, my God is awesome, you know? Everywhere you go, everything you do, everywhere you look, it can all be an act of worship. Someone think of another spoke for the wheel? Our prayer life. Oh, I'm glad that you said that. And this is our prayer service. We'll go into prayer here in a little bit. And will that be your prayer life for the week, what we do here in a little bit? Or will that be just a corporate opportunity for us as a church to hear one another's requests and pray for one another? You say, oh no, I'll pray at least 3 times a day the rest of the week. Sometimes 4 if I have a snack. Shouldn't our prayer lives be even more than that? So much more. Thank you, Miss Debbie. Any other ideas? Well, we don't have to cover. I'm sorry?
Communications, but our thought life.
Okay, our thought life is a spoke in the wheel. Imagine that we're doing what we said tonight. We're taking inventory, and then we're planning out, you know, this plan of action, which was our next step. What are those things on the list? You know, they're all spokes, all of these different things that pull at us. All these irons we have in the fire all over the place, different things that we have to do, they can all come back to Jesus Christ. And the power comes through the hub and then is distributed out to the differing spokes that turn the wheel and take us places. And we go somewhere, and then we don't come to the end of our life saying, if only I had taken inventory, if only I had made a plan of action, if only I had thought about what I would regret if I didn't make a change in my life. And so Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's the hub, and all these spokes shall be added unto you. They'll be brought into focus. They'll be brought into balance. Beautiful. Sometimes I'll hear somebody say something like, I have a problem. My life is falling apart. In some way or another, whatever their complaint is saying that things are falling apart in their life. Well, how do you put a life back together that's falling apart? What holds it together? I like to ask people sometimes, if something's falling apart and we need it to get together, we're going to need some glue. And what might that glue be that's going to hold these things together? Colossians 1:15. Why don't you turn there? You're probably still in Ephesians. Colossians 1:15. Everyone knows the answer to the question, who is the glue? He's the same that is the hub, Jesus Christ. But I want you to see how he's referred to here. Colossians 1:15, speaking of Jesus, it says he is the image of the invisible God. That's like glue that you can't see, but it's there. We don't see God. That's why he sent Jesus, so you could see him. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and he is the glue there. Go on to the next verse, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. All things were created for him. He is before all things. And by him all things, what's the last word?
Consist.
That's the glue. The word consist. By him all things, all these things come together. Life falling apart, we need to get it together. We need it to be held together by the glue. By him all things consist. That's good. And so if life's not going well, it's because Jesus Christ is not at the center. We need to put him at the center, holding things together. Watch him pull it all back together. Think of an atom, A-T-O-M. It's got a nucleus in the middle, but there's, what are there, protons, electrons. Yeah, neutrons. All those things. I never did good in those areas. Swirling around that nucleus, that center, Jesus Christ is the center. By him all things consist. Without him was not anything made that was made. It all comes back to him. So we take all these broken pieces in our lives and things that are out of balance, we watch him miraculously put it all back together. Here's the bottom line in finding balance. Jesus Christ wants to be the center. He will help us start over. Make a new beginning, have a clean slate, put things in order. What do we need to do? Take inventory, just these 3 points. Take inventory and then form the plan of action of what's out of balance. And then number three, to balance it, put Jesus at the center of every area. And when we put him at the center and things begin to spin, some things are going to get thrown out, aren't they? Some things that didn't belong there at all. Some things that aren't part of the balance. I like riding my bicycle, especially off-road. Going to do some of that this week on some dirt trails with the kids. And it's great when you go through the mud and you get stuff all over your wheels and everything. And then you get back on the straight and narrow. You get back on the pavement. And you go real fast. And it throws off a bunch of stuff that wasn't supposed to be there. And it gets all over you, and you bring it into the camper, and your wife yells. This is the order of how things happen this weekend. Will happen, okay? But when you get things in balance, when you get things moving for God, then there are going to be some things to get rid of, or else they're going to continue to weigh you down because they're not part of the heavy center. They're hanging out here, and they're pulling you out of balance, and they're wrecking your life, and their goal is to put you on your deathbed saying, if only I'd made the change back when I wasn't on this bed, I wouldn't have all these regrets. I would have accomplished so much more, and maybe I wouldn't be on this bed even yet, just yet. And so that's our challenge, and that's the end of the message. Unless you have something to say, that was pretty short tonight, right? If you got a thought or something to add, or a question, comment, now would be a good time. All right. Speaking of deathbeds, my dad is not on his currently. I don't believe so. He was let go last night to go home, and praising the Lord for that. 32 days in the hospital. He's thanking the Lord. He actually has, you know, some major things still to deal with, very major, but we're praising the Lord that he is home. Thank you for all those prayers. And